You are listening to the Delane MD Podcast, the podcast for health professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, PA, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, stop overeating, feel better, and prevent disease, Dr. Vaughn offers practical strategies and tools to overcome the many challenges that undermine weight loss efforts. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Delane MD Podcast. I want to say thank you to everyone for listening. If you've been finding this information helpful, I would be so appreciative if you would leave me a rating or a review on your podcasting app. The more ratings and reviews that I get, the more the podcast app gets this information out to people, gets my podcast out to people. So if you've been finding it interesting, if you've been finding the information helpful, I would be eternally grateful if you'd leave me a rating or a review. Thank you so much. For those of you who are new to the Delane MD podcast, I'm Delane Vaughn. I'm a family practice doctor. I started a business called Delane MD to help healthcare professionals lose weight and meet their health goals. There are Facebook Lives every Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can find me on Facebook at Delane MD. There's great information in those Facebook Lives, and I'm available to answer any questions. I'd love to have you there. Lastly, any feedback you guys have on these podcasts or on the Facebook Lives, I appreciate hearing about it. You can go to Delane MD and you can send me an email through there. So this week, guys, we are so excited at Delane MD because I've been preparing for the Wichita Women's Fair. This is a local shout out. For those of you in Wichita, you probably are aware that we have a Wichita Women's Fair February 15th through 17th. I'm so excited to have a booth there. We've got tons of things planned for this event. We're very excited. I'm going to be doing many coaching sessions. So for anybody who's been interested to find out what coaching's about, please show up. Come find me. We'll do a mini coaching session. I'll answer any questions you have. We do have two VIP tickets that we are giving away. To enter the drawing for the two VIP tickets, you can go to Delane MD on Facebook, and there's a link there that will take you to register for that. We'll be giving those two VIP tickets away on February 2nd. We're also going to have some fun giveaways at the Women's Fair. One of the things that we have planned are called Urge Pads. They're little notepads that we will be giving away. I know an Urge Pad sounds like something you probably need to be medicated for, but it's actually a technique that I use to teach clients how to manage cravings and urges. So look for those. There will be a podcast released after the Wichita Women's Fair. That podcast will explain how to use those Urge Pads and the importance of kind of learning how to manage your cravings and urges. So I look forward to seeing anybody out at the Women's Fair. If you're just out there, come by and say hi. We'd love to hear from you and answer any questions that you might have about coaching. So this podcast, we are talking about probably the quickest question that I get from clients and one of the most common questions that I get from clients. So these questions are what I call the how do I do it questions. How do I lose the weight? Tell me the exact method to use. What plan should I follow? What should I eat? What shouldn't I eat? What exercises should I do? Should I exercise? Should I not exercise? When do I exercise? All of these questions I lump into the how do I do it category. It's so funny because we all want to get our information this way. We want to be told exactly how to do it. In medicine and the medical field, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a physical therapist, whether you're a respiratory therapist, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a pediatrician, whether you're a neurosurgeon, whatever it is, we are trained this way. We really like to have the steps to know exactly how to do it. If you think back to when you were taught things in school, we were taught this way. This is the way our brain has literally been trained to receive information. Anybody who knows how to start an IV, we were all taught. Step one, you verify the patient. Step two, you make sure you have all the supplies you need. Step three, you place a tourniquet. You locate the appropriate site. Sometimes you have to find a different site to get a vein that cooperates with you. Step four, you clean the site. Step five, you place the IV catheter. Step six, you draw any lab specimens that you need. Step 7, you place IV tubing with the flushing solution ready to go. Step 8, you release the tourniquet. Step 9, you flush the site. Step 10, you secure the site. Step 11, you label and process your specimens appropriately. Now, the technique may be different nowadays, but this is how I was taught to do it. And if you remember back, then there's a different process and all sorts of steps to go through when you actually administer medications through that site. medical field has taught us to love to be told exactly how to do things. We do it when we're treating diseases. You have first line, second line, third line therapies. For physical therapists, they have certain things that they try for cervicalgia. They have certain things that they try for elbow pain. They do all sorts of things. And when those things don't work, they add different techniques or different exercises for their patients. Our mind loves this stuff. This is exactly how we want to receive information. It's just how our brain works. When we ask the question, how do I do it? How do I lose weight? We are looking for answers from somewhere else external to us that can only be found internally. There's literally no one else who has that answer. It's interesting how we think that we have the answers for everybody else too. We do this especially in medicine. If somebody comes to me as a doctor and asks me how do they treat their blood pressure, I know exactly. Okay, we're going to start hydrochlorothiazide. If that doesn't work, we're going to start an ACE inhibitor. If that doesn't work, we're going to start amlodipine. We have got steps for exactly how we want to do this. We do this even if it's not in the medical field. If somebody comes to us and asks us, what do I do when my kid behaves X, Y, and Z? We're like, well, what you got to do is you got to do this and this and this. We know exactly how to answer other people's questions when they ask us for advice. The funny thing is we literally don't know. We don't know that what we're doing is accurate or is the right thing for somebody else. Even in medicine, if I go to prescribe somebody a medication, it could follow all of the algorithms perfectly, and they could have an adverse reaction to it. They could have an allergic reaction to it. I had no way of knowing that they were going to have an allergic reaction to it. So I didn't know the right answer for them, even though I made a very educated guess about it. I could still be wrong. There's no way for me to know exactly what somebody else should do. There's no way for any of us to know what somebody should do with their child when they're behaving in a certain way. There's no way for us to know the exact thing when somebody's having a problem in their marriage. We think we do. And the reason we think we do is because it's always easier for us to tell somebody else how they should manage their situation. Because when I'm telling somebody else how to manage their situation, I'm not usually focusing on my own situation. That takes work on my part. That's a lot harder, and I'd like to avoid that hard work, so we don't do that. There's a concept some people may have heard me talk about. I call it running your own race or staying in your own lane. What I mean by that is in a race, when you're running, if you're focused on somebody else's form, somebody else's technique, somebody else's foot strike, if you're focused on somebody else's race, you can't be critiquing your own race. You can't be making changes on your race because you're wasting all that focus and all that mind energy on their race. The only thing that you have to contribute to that race is your race. There's literally nothing else you have control over. Byron Katie is an author. She has a concept that she calls my work, your work, and God's work. I love this concept. So you don't have to believe in God for this. You can call God's work nature's work or science's work or whatever you want to call it. There are things that are outside of your control. They're outside of anybody's control. Hurricanes, wildfires, natural disasters, deadly diseases that we can't prevent, certain cancers, genetic anomalies. All of these are things that are outside of our control. Even patients who get things that we think we can control. Lung cancer. Oh, well, if you wouldn't smoke, you wouldn't get lung cancer. But certainly there are cases of people who end up with some rare lung cancer that had nothing to do with them smoking. There are all sorts of things in the world that we have no control over. Making attempts to control them is wasted energy on our part. There's your work. And what I mean by your work is the work that's not my work. Again, your work is your work. I can't control what you do. There is no human being in the world that I can control what they do, especially adult human beings. They get to make a decision. We see this all the time in the world. There are legal ramifications for certain behaviors. Murder, speeding, stealing. There are legal ramifications. There are consequences. But that doesn't mean you can control somebody from doing those things. They still make the decision to do those things. We don't have control over that. There's nothing we can do to have control over that. And then there's my work. That's the stuff I actually have control over, the things that I can change about my life. Now, if I get some crazy cancer, I don't get to control that. That's God's work. That's science's work. That's nature's work, whatever you want to call it. That's not my work. My work is how I manage my feelings, my emotions, my attitude around that. That's my work. My work is I can feel sorry for myself and make that situation worse. Or my work is I can say I may have a little bit of time here left on the earth, not as much as I thought. I better get to work living it. That's my work. That's not somebody else's work. That's what I get to do. And it's the same thing with your weight loss. I don't get to control what you do for your weight loss. I don't get to control how you manage it. I can tell you not to eat ho-hos and ding-dongs. That's your work, though, right? What I can provide you is education about what ho-hos and ding-dongs do to your body, but that's not my work, whether you eat it or not. That's your work. I love that concept by Byron Katie. I love the idea of staying in my own lane because that's the stuff that I can do. But recognize staying in your own lane and doing your work is exactly what it sounds like. It's work. It's an effort. And that's why our bodies, our primitive brains, you know, we try to avoid things like that. We want the easiest route possible. And that's why we focus so much of our energy on other people's lane, on other people's race, on other people's work. Because it's easier. It's also why we look to other people to tell us what to do. This goes towards something that our brain also tries to do. We avoid feeling uncomfortable. We look to others to give us information about what we should or should not do, because then I follow their plan. I don't have to put any thought into it. And if it fails, it's not my fault. And we love to be able to be like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault that diet plan didn't work. It was somebody else's plan. And then we don't have to look at our work. Then we don't have to critique what we are doing in our work because the diet plan didn't work. We like to spin around in this confusion of, I don't know what to do. There's so much information out there. I don't want to make a plan because it might not be the right plan. We would rather spin in confusion and not doing anything because it's easier on our brain than risk the failure, which is also uncomfortable for our brain. So we all want to avoid failure because it feels uncomfortable, it feels bad, and humans hate to feel bad. But really, it's just a feeling, and we can work through that. If you try a diet plan, if you make a plan, and it works for 4 weeks, and say you lose 10 pounds on it, that wasn't a failure. But 6 weeks into it, if you're not getting the results you want, then it just means you need to tweak it. What happens is that we follow a plan, or we might make a plan even for ourselves that we've thought would work, but then it doesn't work immediately, or it doesn't give us the results we want immediately, and we take that as a failure and we beat ourselves up, and then we just give up altogether. We're so afraid of that feeling of failure that we just decide it doesn't work and it's not worth it and we're not going to try anymore. People who lose weight, people who are successful at anything, whether it be weight loss, whether it be in their professions, whether it be in their education, if you're successful at something, it's because you didn't let one of those failures get in the way. When you were learning long division, the first time you got a problem wrong, if you decided that was, I'm just never going to be able to learn long division, you would never have learned and mastered long division. If you decided that organic chemistry, that first test that you took and you got a C on, wasn't good enough, and you're just never going to be able to learn organic chemistry, you would have never been able to go on and get your undergraduate degree, get admitted to medical school, and become a doctor. Or the first nursing test that you failed and you realized, oh, I've got to work harder, I've got to study differently. If you made that first nursing test mean that you were just never cut out to be a nurse, I'm never going to be able to be a nurse, it just isn't in my genetic makeup, you would have never figured out how to get past that failure and finished your degree up and become a nurse. This is true across the board for anything that somebody is successful for. You are not naturally going to be succeeding at every single thing you try. There will be failures, and you have to learn how to get past them. Your weight loss is no different. We like to sit there and spin in confusion like we don't know, because that's easier than actually putting ourselves out there to fail a little bit and to figure out the hard work of what is my next step. How am I going to try this differently? How do I fix this? So when people come to me with the question, how do I do it? My very emotionally charged hyperbolic answer is, gun to your head, how would you do it? If there was a gun to your head and you had to give me an answer about how you would do it, what would that answer be? It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't even have to be right. It has to be the best answer that you have available to you at this moment. You're going to try things. Some of them are going to work and some of them aren't. And it means absolutely nothing about who you are. See, here's the interesting thing. we make failure in our brain, we believe that it means that we are somehow faulty. We are somehow bad. We don't have good ideas. We aren't a quality individual. We're dumb. Whatever it is that we tell ourselves, we make failure mean that we're incapable of anything else. Where one failure just really means that you found out one way that doesn't work. There are many other ways out there. You know one that doesn't work. Let's see how we can change it up and figure out how it does work. So, for those of you out there who want to ask me how do you do it, my suggestion to you, please, please, please take 10 minutes, sit down, and figure out if you had to make a decision, what would it be? How do you want to try it for the first time? And then please, please, please understand you're probably going to fail once or twice, and that's okay. That's perfectly fine. All great things are built on the backs of failures. The airplane, the automobile, the bicycle, the light bulb, computers, all of these things are built on the back of failures. Build your weight loss success on the back of your failures. Get out there, try something, see how it goes, and see what you need to tweak out, and recognize that a failure is supposed to happen, and it's totally okay. It's exactly how it's supposed to go. So for anybody who has questions about this, anybody who has any feedback about this, please send me a message at DelaneMD.com. I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. I will be back next week with a new podcast. Hope to see you then. Thanks, guys. Bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD.